Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Relationships, love, and sex, the spices of life, driving us all and commanding the wheel, is the media darling in the complex world of human behavior. Expert therapist, author, and radio host, Dr. Jane Greer. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy this fast-moving ride with fascinating guests. HealthyLife.net welcomes you to the Doctor on Call Hour with Dr. Jane Greer.
Hi, everybody. Helping yourself to know-how is why you're here with Dr. Greer, and you're listening to the Doctor on Call Hour at HealthyLife.net. Today we're featuring Pop Psych, where we chat with leading experts in the mental health and psychology field who help us understand more about how our minds tick. We bring you the most compelling research and practical guidance on relationships and mental health. It's about understanding ourselves and others. We feature editors, authors, bloggers, and therapists to share the latest in the world of human behavior. But that is not all. We'll also be shrink-wrapped being with none other than Jay Cruz, our amazing producer and the Velvet Voice host here at HealthyLife.net, where we indulge in all the latest celebrity news, exploring the ups and downs of their relationships, and most importantly, what lessons we can take away from their stories. Okay, let's get going and kick things off with today's guest, Vicki Dobbs. Vicki Dobbs.
Good morning.
Passionate guide. Well, let me introduce you. Good morning, Vicki. But before jumping in, people need to know how wonderful you are and all the things you've done. And you are a passionate guide, helping people navigate life and business in a way that allows them to share their unique gifts with the world. She specializes in crafting both virtual and in-person courses that integrate creativity and art, providing participants with tangible ways to anchor the learning into their daily life. Through her international best-selling books, courses, one-on-one work, and speaking engagements, she inspires others to live with intention, creativity, and what we all want is purpose. And now it's time to say hello, Vicki. It's so great to have you here.
Good morning, Dr. Jane. Thank you so much for having me with you this morning.
Just a pleasure. And let's start with the title of your book, Get Off the Shelf. I mean, that's really intriguing. I mean, I immediately think of, is that a closet? Is somebody sitting down and not moving? What does it mean? And why did you choose it?
Well, it was a dream, actually. I don't know where it was, but I have this very visceral memory of walking down a hallway lined with bookshelves. And something caught my attention, so I looked up and to my left, and I was sitting on the top shelf, knees crossed. You know how when you're agitated, your knees kind of bouncing up and down, your arms are folded?
Oh, yeah.
And this me looked down at me and said, what the heck am I on the shelf for again? And it was a metaphor for me to realize how often I set myself aside in service to everything and everybody else in my life except myself. So the book is about my journey off the shelf.
I think that's wonderful. It sounds like it was visionary and spiritually gifted to you, in a sense, through your dream. And, you know, it's interesting because when I hear shelf, I immediately think of, you know, clothing and clutter and clearing yourself out. But I love that it's your bookshelf, which is steeped in resource and wisdom and knowledge and joy and pleasure, all the things that, all the wondrous aspects of books and reading and making sure, because a lot of times I hear people say, oh, my shelves are so stacked. You know, I've got 10 books that I'm going to read, or I've got all this paperwork that I'm going to get to, which is exactly your concept. Get to it. Don't wait. Don't keep piling it on. Take it out, take it off, and use it to get going.
that and stop sitting on the wisdom and knowledge that you have accumulated. Share it with the world.
That sounds terrific. So now your journey was from the business world, which is so interesting, to these very sacred practices. Can you walk us through how you discovered them? And also
sure.
the role that, also the mystery school. Just the name mystery school is a mystery. What is that? And how did that play into the process?
Well, my career was by accident. I went to school for teaching. I have a degree in biology and a minor in agriculture, and got into the classroom and found that students didn't have the respect for teachers that I was raised to have, and teaching may not be for me. So I went to work for a veterinarian, and I showed dogs, and then a friend of mine asked me to go to real estate school with her, and my parents were involved in an aspect of the business, and it was a kind of a no-brainer. I said, what the heck, why not? And it turned into a 35-year, very successful career. And in the early 2000s, in maybe, 1999, I was gifted the book Medicine Woman by Lynn Andrews. Fascinating book to read as a story. So I went in search of the rest of her books and discovered through them that she had a shaman mystery school called the Lynn Andrews Center for Sacred Arts and Training. And long story short, I joined the school. I graduated in 05, was ordained in 06, and then began mentoring in the school in 07. And the rest is kind of history, you know. We learn what we teach, and I love teaching, and I found the nook that I was supposed to teach in. And it, the mystery school is really about delving into energy and how you deal with it in life. So it's learning how to choreograph the energy in your world.
I love that. And where do you find that people get the most stuck on the shelf with their energy? Where do they have roadblocks or internal resistance to moving forward and actualizing their desires and using their energy in a productive way?
Well, I think a lot of people come into the school in victim mode, and they've had trauma in their life, as most all of us have. You don't get into your 70s without having experienced trauma of some
you
sort.
You said it.
abuse.
You don't get into your 50s without experiencing
that's
trauma.
That's exactly right, and that's where I was. I was in my early, late 40s, early 50s, and you know, getting to be an empty nester and wondering what the heck I was doing with my life. And I was so involved in the community and the business. I think I was Professional Businesswoman of the Year in 1999 in Clovis. So my life was very full of doing, but I had no idea who I was in the doing of it. I had a psychologist friend ask me, so who are you, Vicki? And I started naming all the things I had, all the certificates, all of the accomplishments, my kids. And she said, wait. That's what you do. Who are you? I couldn't answer the question. I had no clue. Didn't even know that was an option for me. So I went from massive codependent to now supporting women to put themselves first. I love saying, hashtag you matter. And so the bulk of what I write and talk about is learning how to unselfishly put yourself first so that you can gift the world the best of you, not just what's left over of you.
Excuse me. It sounds so important. You know, it's shifting from our self-esteem and our confidence coming from what we do for others, what we do for family, what we do for our job, to how we are and how we are being during the day, how we are nourishing ourselves and people. And it sounds like you found another avenue for your self-esteem and self-worth to say, this is who I am, based on not what you were doing, but what you were doing to take care of yourself.
And learning how to get past one of my greatest good enemies, who I nicknamed WOPT, W-O-P-T, what other people think. And
W-O-T-T, what other, WOPT, oh, I got it.
WOPT.
Terrific.
Yep, what other people think. I write a chapter in my book about WOPT, and I'm currently writing about the good enemies that we have in our life, fear and change and doubt, and all of these are, I put them into a character form, and instead of fearing them or running from them or climbing back under the covers when they show up, you know, turn around and face them. These can be helping teachers, very, very helpful allies in our journey, because they have a purpose in our life. Maybe they want you to slow down. Maybe they want you to think twice about something. Maybe they just want you to make a left instead of a right turn, but it's those energetics in our life that sometimes throw us down into the dark holes, those negative thought forms that like to chase us around when we're in a good mood.
And how did you get through what other people think? Because a lot of times that does become the governing force for so many people. You know, you're concerned what your boss thinks because you don't want their anger or disapproval. You don't want them to, you know, nix your raise or, you know, a possibility for promotion. We care what our children think because we don't want them angry or thinking we're bad mommies or daddies. We care what our spouses, partners, friends think because we think we're good people and caring people and we want them to feel the same way. So there is a balance of importance in terms of what other people think, but it sounds like you're saying it can't be the whole kit and caboodle. You've got to integrate what you think as well, that has to somehow be in there. Is that the gist of it?
It is. I think if you visualize a teeter-totter, which, you know, now people may not realize what that is. It's just a triangle with a board across it, and when you were a kid, you sat on either end with a friend and pushed each other up and down. And if you sit across from what other people think and sit as your authentic self to let them see who you are and allow yourself permission to speak your truth, not with a finger pointed at anybody, just standing in your power saying, this is what I think. This is how I feel. You don't have to agree with me. I just ask that you respect my truth, as I will yours. So if I'm concerned about wearing green instead of red because it's March and red is you know, a flagging color for the bull who's coming, I give myself permission to wear green and tell somebody in red how great they look so that there's a complementary energetic that moves together, not a force that moves against. It's not one sitting on the higher side of the teeter-totter and the other one's holding you down and not letting you move because of fear of what they think. So honor what people think, give them credit for their own truth, and just be firm in your own. So when you come to that point, I think it hit me. I was teaching a real estate class, and I was wearing a Herkimer diamond on a necklace around my neck, and I pulled it out from under my shirt and was fiddling with it, and very few people had showed up for class that day. So I said, let's put our books down and talk about how this business really is, because it can be fun and it can tear you up. So let's talk about the good and the bad. And one of the gals in the class reached in her pocket and pulled out an amethyst stone. And suddenly we're talking about crystals and how they ground us, or in other words, it moves into the energy of the things around us, not necessarily what we were doing in the business of real estate, but how we incorporate keeping ourselves balanced in the world that can be such a push and shove on us.
So, but it sounds like there you were tuned in to the energy of the people around you and the work that you were doing, and instinctively or intuitively shifted to brighten things up. You pulled out your diamond to lighten and brighten, and you were joined in, you know, with another member of the class, so that it becomes a matter of reading the energy as well of the people around you. But I wanted to circle back. You know, it's very tricky because what it sounds like you're talking about, you know, speak your own truth and let other people have their opinions. Well, yeah, but a lot of times other people have their opinions and are very judgmental with them and express disapproval when you speak your truth. I know as a therapist, I work with people to, you know, because speaking your truth, a lot of times people think when they preface a statement with, well, I feel you are mean or you are rude, that the I feel is a preface to speaking one's truth when in fact it's a blaming, judgmental statement and isn't remotely close to expressing one's feelings. If that person is being rude, then the I feel has to be I feel disrespected. I feel put down. I feel ignored. I feel devalued when I talk to you. But most people, a lot of people, really have a hard time knowing how they feel and know what they think about the other person. So it's very challenging. I mean, I really respect and agree 100% with you. I only know from my experience working with people therapeutically, getting people to speak their truth in a way that they can be heard and confront their fear of disapproval with the other person, whoever that might be, significant other, child, boss, friend, it is quite an undertaking, and I applaud you for doing it.
I was blessed to have a psychologist in my corner who said to me, Vicki, here's a phrase I want you to memorize. And the next time you butt heads with your husband and he says something that hurts, you just look at him and say, Danny, I'm not sure if I heard what you said the way you meant it, but here's what I heard, and it hurt.
Well, that's beautiful. You saw a great psychologist. Kudos to him.
Seriously, that
is really beautiful because most people, exactly to what you're saying, they hear somebody saying something to them through their own internal filter and get wounded or hurt and then react angrily or hostily or retaliatory, and that's why there are so many fights that go on, the hot spots that I called in one of my books. They get ignited because people are misunderstood all the time. And
that either blows up your flame or it closes off your voice. A lot of people react to those kind of statements with backing down, silence, sulking away, and putting themselves on the shelf because the other person who was confrontational, they've given more power to than themselves. And when you accept that you are an equal in the world, in whatever state or place you're in your heart and soul, you know you have value, then you can say, and I don't put it with, I don't think that's what you meant. It's, here's what I heard, and it hurts. So you're not saying, you hurt me. You're saying how my body took it in, how my filter changed it from your words to my reference or my, the word is escaping me right now, that I'm taking it in. The reference it takes for me, I don't think is what you meant. So very simply, this is how I heard you, and it hurt. And if you start it with that, I don't think you meant to say the way I heard what you said, but here's what I heard, and it hurt. So you're not pointing a finger. You're not calling them names.
Exactly.
You're not putting them on the spot. You're taking what hurt you and honestly saying, this is what I heard.
Right. I think it's terrific. I talk about put down the bat in one of my books, the blame, the attack, and the trigger, which is you just said this and you did that, and, you know, leading with your interpretation And I say, play the Ace of Hearts. Acknowledge what you just heard. This is what I heard. Consider what the person's trying to say, and then look for them to empathize with you, you know, to understand that, hey, that hurt. So now can you address that, which is simple. You know, it's like stepping on somebody's foot. You don't do it on purpose, but they say, ouch, and you say, sorry. You know, you don't get defensive. And, you know, so many times people think if somebody says, I'm hurt, that means you did something wrong and you're at fault. And that's why they launch into a counterattack or retaliation or to blame, as opposed to a simple, look, if that's what you heard and that's how you felt, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. And
right.
Then it's over.
And that opens the door to a much healthier conversation.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. Because the point of hurt and anger, and I tell this to people all the time, is not to clobber somebody with it, but it's to let them know something was hurtful, upsetting, disappointing, and then to problem solve, collaborate to figure out how do we avoid this continuing to happen? What can you do? What can I do so we don't repeat this over and over and keep having this disagreement? So let me ask you, backing up to helping people get off the shelf, tell our listeners, what's the best way to fine-tune and tune into themselves now to see if, in fact, that's where they are? And you know what? On that note, we are going to take a break because people are going to have to stay on the shelf for another minute because we're going to take a break and come back for more Pop Psych with Vicki Dobbs in just a second here at HealthyLife.net. Stay with us. Back in a minute.
How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you are trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of two separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com. The positive side of podcasts. Always have been, always will be. Uncensored, entertaining, timeless talk. HRNpodcast.com. Take a break from the dark side.
Welcome back to the Doctor on Call Hour with me, Dr. Jane Greer, and I am continuing my conversation with Vicki Dobbs of this episode of Pop Psych. So before we went to break, Vicki, I was asking you, really helpful to let people know what to look for, what to become aware of, what to identify that, I'm on the shelf. I better start to make some changes. Let me get this book and see what specifically I can do. But how do you encourage people to tune in so that they even know they've got to go buy your book?
Oh, I think the first thing, of course, is awareness, and it's that feeling of, you know, there's something more. I'm busy, I'm active, I'm successful, my kids are doing good, I have a relationship with my partner, my husband, my friends, and I'm lonely in the midst of all these people. And you begin to realize perhaps you've lost yourself. And if you're lucky enough to have somebody say to you, who are you, as opposed to what are you doing, I think that's a big key. So if you're feeling that loss, that there's something missing, that I know there's more, but I don't know what more is, ask yourself, who am I? And if that question draws a blank for you, then find somebody to work with you through that question of who am I, not what do you do. And then the first step is do something for you. When I found the Medicine Woman book through a forum, I found out there was an annual gathering. And so I went to an event where I knew nobody in a location I'd never been. The weather was hotter than Hades, and here's all these people crammed into dorm-like rooms. And talk about take yourself out of your comfort zone and expand. It was an eye-opening event, let's put it that way, in that, you know, there was a lot of conversation around being ourselves and doing for ourselves and recognizing that, you know, life isn't easy, but it can be fun. It is, of course, a beautiful, we humans in these body forms walking on this earth school to learn to be more us, to be more real, to be more authentic. And so often it's, you know, color a picture of yourself. What color would you be? And if it's somebody who is so in tune to staying in the line that they've been put in a box and their comfort zone is this box, I try to tell them that the walls around them have just become soft, that they can push them, that they're amoeba-like, they don't have a fixed form, that if they're comfortable in their life but they want more, push a little bit on these soft edges of your comfort zone. You don't have to jump out into the wild no yonder and be in free fall. You can simply push the boundaries of what you're doing and begin to search for who you are. And in doing that, you'll likely come back with a, wow, you know, I've been a secretary in this amazing law office all these years, and I had no idea I had this wealth of knowledge. I could write a book. Or I had one client who said, I simply can't do these energy paintings. I'm not an artist. And I said, oh, you know what, here, I got one for you. Go to the grocery store in the kids section. You know, there's always coloring books and little, buy a kid's coloring book. And I challenge you to color outside the lines on every page for a week. Turn the pages and just, outside the lines. I don't care if you scribble over the picture or you color the picture and put a halo around it, but color outside the lines. Shift your perspective on what's right or wrong, because ultimately it's not that you're right and they're wrong or they're right and you're wrong. It's I am who I am, and I allow them to be who they are. And that's when you're off the shelf, when you can do for yourself and say, excuse me, but you no longer have my permission to treat me like this. I love you dearly, but here's a boundary. I had no clue what boundaries were. So it was a brand new experience for me that I try to share with people. Your boundaries don't have to be fixed by who you have been. Let that wall around you be amoeba-like. And moving, it pushes out farther in this direction than in another direction, but it's soft and it's malleable, and you're the one who can push against it and change it and allow it to be a significant enough boundary that the people on the other side of this soft, easy place of balance if they push back, that's fine. You still have this soft, easy shell around you that's no longer hard and crusted, because you know who you are inside. You're an open-hearted, loving, giving, especially we codependents who have mastered the art of giving and have run from the art of receiving. And that's the teeter-cotter again. You go back to, as you give, so shall you receive. So you overdo one. If you have somebody that you're constantly bailing out of or helping or giving everything to, you're actually disempowering them. You're taking the journey away from them, the experience that they need to make the change in their life. So you walk people to an experience and then let them walk through it.
It's very powerful, and it sounds like what makes it even more empowering is that you not just walk the walk, you don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk, you did it yourself, and you really were able to get beyond being caught up in just your role and your role in terms of who you were to other people to being true to yourself. And when you did that, Vicki, what changed for you? What were the changes that you found yourself personally making?
Well, I think a lot of friends go away because suddenly you're not the wallet in their back pocket anymore. And as a codependent, my wallet was always open. And so you have to be ready for people to not recognize you. And to let that be okay, because as you often hear, people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And the people who truly are connected to you, you'll find your tribe. And you may already have them, but you'll just have a different way of communicating with them that empowers them and does not disempower you. So there's not that imbalance of giving. You receive love, you give love. If all you're doing is giving and you're never receiving, suddenly the well runs dry and you're no longer able to give from a place of heart. You're giving from a place of have to. And have to is not nearly as generous as the heart is.
So it's really coming down to shifting from have to choice. To doing things by choice that you want to do because that gives you a sense of fulfillment and it's very gratifying as opposed to what you feel compelled or driven to do.
Yes, and that compelling drive is what disempowers the other person. Because you go back to the biblical story of teaching somebody how to fish and still giving them fish. That was the big aha moment for me because I had friends who would say, oh, you know, I can't do this, this, or this, and so you'd make it possible for them, whether it was find a job or give them money or empty your pantry into their grocery sack, where if you would help that person find a way to do that for themselves, in other words, teach them to fish and stop giving them fish, now you've empowered an individual to walk out into the world feeling comfortable in their own bones. They can do something. They can do for themselves. And the story Get Off the Shelf is really a self-help memoir. It is my walk through doubt and grief and all of the things, those negative thought forms that pop up. But number one is put yourself first. It is not a selfish act. It's a self of an act of self-preservation. So put you on your calendar first.
Yeah. You know, let me stop you because we're going to have to move on. But to your point, again, in my book, Stop Selfishness from Ruining Your Relationship, I say exactly what you're describing. It's not selfish. It's selfness. And here's to selfness all the time. Vicki, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Greer, and if folks want to find me, they just go to VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com, and I am grateful for the opportunity to chat with you this morning. Dr. Jane, thank you so much.
You are so very welcome, and listeners, you can go to Amazon and get Vicki's book, And now, stay with us, because when we come back, we are going to be shrink-wrapping with Jake Cruz right here on HealthyLife.net. Back in a minute.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com. Hollywood. You don't have to be there to discover the inside scoop on the relationships and inside workings of the stars in showbiz or other famous people in the news. Imagine getting up close and personal as Dr. Jane Greer delves into how these celebrities are navigating their relationships with insider tips and insights that actually can help you handle your relationships better. Just go to drjanegreer.com and click on Latest News, and you'll get, well, the latest news at drjanegreer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit drjanegreer.com, www.drjanegreer.com.
Remember, media with integrity, www.healthylife.net.
Back to the Doctor on Call Hour. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and now it is time for Shrink Wrap, where we talk about what we can learn from the trials and triumphs of not only celebrities, but all relationships. You know, the celebrity stars shine so brightly, and we all look up to them, yet we're puzzled when they fall. So Shrink Wrap is here to shed light on all. And joining me is Jake Cruz. Jake has extensive experience as a broadcasting professional, and he's used his background and experience to help produce, coach, and further the positive vision of Healthy Life Radio and its numerous shows. Jay, welcome to Shrink Wrap. It's always a delight to have you to Shrink Wrap with.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And we've got lots to jump into in the world of celebrity news because there have been a lot of pretty emotional stories going on. So let's start to unpack the lessons that they can teach us, and let's launch with, I mean, you have to hear this all over the media, Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni, who are the co-stars in the 2024 film, It Ends With Us. Well, apparently it doesn't end with them, because it seems to have just begun with them. They have been embroiled in a really highly publicized legal dispute. Blake filed a complaint alleging that Baldoni engaged in sexual harassment and orchestrated a smear campaign to tarnish her reputation. Baldoni denied the allegations, and in response, he filed a $400 million lawsuit against Lively, her husband Ryan Reynolds, and their publicist, accusing them of defamation and civil extortion. The situation has attracted significant media attention. You know, to me, it brings to mind Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. What do you think?
That is a good analogy, and you know, it definitely seems kind of complicated. And
you know, a couple of people working together, and then, you know, in the aftermath, this, you know, this lawsuit happening, and then, you know, with the other people who are friends and hang, you know, associates of the, like with the case with Justin, and anyway, Taylor Swift, apparently, her name has been, well, she's not involved in the actual lawsuit. She's a mutual friend of the two. And it seems that a lot of the reports are actually just speaking about, you know, her silence in this whole situation right now. And how she's, you know, just kind of not really speaking out or offering any opinions because she is a mutual friend of the two.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, the whole thing with Taylor Swift supposedly getting called into it and it contaminating, excuse me, their friendship, which is compelling. But, you know, the question becomes, who do you believe? I we were just talking earlier on the show about what somebody does and what somebody says and what they actually mean versus how it's interpreted. So, you know, Blake might have experienced his behavior as seductive or flirtatious or even inappropriate. Clearly she did. It's not that she might have, she clearly did. The question is, was that his intention? Is that how he meant it? Was there room for misunderstanding? I mean, how many times do we hear allegations of one person says, I was raped, and the other person says, no, you were not. It was consent. And the person says, I said no 6 times. Yeah, but on the 7th time, you said yes. Or you didn't say no 7 times. It's really such a thin line between, you know, how one person experiences the interaction versus the other person's intention with it. And it's going to be very fascinating to see how are they going to prove this in a court of law. I guess in terms of all the texts and people then trying to interpret what the messages were. I mean, did you see the point where he said she criticized him that his nose was too big? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently, while they were filming or during, she said, you know, your nose is very big. And he said something, I guess she was saying it as they were trying to kiss, like it was getting in the way. And he said, yeah, I know, I've been told that, or something to that effect. You know, they both felt that the other was devaluing. Each of them.
Wow.
And, you know, I guess my question becomes, and I'm curious your answer, maybe all this did go on. Maybe there was all this misunderstanding and bad behavior. Like, to what end do you push it? Is there not room for quiet negotiation? If she felt he wronged her, could she not? Isn't it possible to, I don't know, maybe it's not possible to negotiate and say, look, you know, I felt really bad. How about we settle this and just be done with it so that you're not locked into all this animosity and anger and hostility? This has to contaminate their creative art and flow of energy in the next period of time. There's no way you can have all this aggression and animosity and not have it become toxic and tainting to the work that you're doing. It's just impossible.
No, definitely. And, you know, with, leading actor and, you know, I didn't see the movie, but, you know, when you got a leading man and a leading woman playing a role, there's probably some romance involved in the movie, as plots do involve. And, you know, that's always a slippery slope. And as a viewer of movies and someone who enjoys film, it always seemed weird to me just that, you know, oh, here's a job where I get to go kiss the leading lady. And obviously I'm married and they're married or what have you. And, you know, that's just this is an odd part of the whole working in cinema. And occasionally romances have happened. Two people click, even if they are involved in a relationship and fire happens. You know, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, you know, they are working on a set. They were both involved happily in relationships, and then they decided to become in a new relationship because of the chemistry on set. There's a number of you know, people who have been acting in that same situation and they literally can't stand each other. Like, his nose is too big, her breath was bad, you know, various things, you know, and they, you know, when it gets to the, you know, some of the intimate scenes, which have to be a challenge anyway, you know, it's like, okay, we're not in a relationship, but we're going to do this romantic scene. You know, how do we negotiate this? How do we, you know, what do we do? You know, are there, you know, that's something that you almost have to have a whole side negotiation or set of rules or ground rules or parameters, I would think, going in, you know, because at the same time, I'm going to go home today and you're going to go home today and we're going to have, hey, honey, how was things on the set today? It's like, oh, it was okay. I made out with a really beautiful act by co-star and, yeah, no, there's no chemistry. Yeah, it was just, you know, I mean, to me, if I was, like, to physically be kissing somebody, at the end of the day, I would be thinking about it, you know, because either I'm single and I maybe am now having feelings for that person or that potential relationship, or I'm in a relationship and I'm going, okay, this is my job and my significant other knows this is what I do. Yeah, I'm going through these emotions because I was just kissing this person, even though it was part of my job. And it's, I think that's a kind of a complicated thing. So I definitely think ground rules and parameters should be set in place for the protection of all, you know, people who are involved, people who are married and involved with the actors, and people on the set too. So they don't get any, he said, she said, I saw this, type of thing going.
Right.
So,
well, that's really well said. This is the job, and there should be some clarity about the parameters of physical health, behavior that's appropriate, inappropriate to showing up and doing the job. And on that note, I think we have to go to break.
We do.
I thought so. So with us, stay with us, folks, because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, more Shrink Wrap with Jay Cruz.
Dr. Jane Greer is recognized as a leading national expert in sex, love, and relationships. She's the type of person that you want to know. Filled with wisdom, kindness, and empathy, she spends her life helping people. Whether through TV appearances, on a radio show, through her books or magazine features and columns, or in person. Dr. Jane Greer's main goal is to help you. Find out more about Dr. Jane Greer by visiting her website at drjanegreer.com. That's drjanegreer.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If there was a hotline to heaven, who would you call? In Dr. Jane Greer's book, The Afterlife Connection, you can learn to connect with a loved one who has passed, so you can say hello instead of goodbye. You'll get 7 tips for opening the channels of communication with your departed loved ones and recognize the signs your loved one sends your way. Learn how to include your departed loved one in your daily life, and you can even heal damaged relationships even after your loved one is gone. A special book by a therapist who cares, The Afterlife Connection by Dr. Jane Greer, gives you the tools for filling the gaps and creating a sense of closure. Get this amazing book today at Amazon.com or visit DrJaneGreer.com, www.DrJaneGreer.com. How could you do this to me? What about me? If your selfishness is ruining your relationship, or if you're trying to learn to trust after betrayal, then how could you do this to me and what about me are the titles of 2 separate books by Dr. Jane Greer that you should get to help improve your relationships. Imagine having a happy, loving, thriving relationship again. Get the help you need with How Could You Do This to Me or What About Me by Dr. Jane Greer at Amazon.com. Get your copy now at Amazon.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
We are back. I'm Dr. Jane Greer, and I am shrink-wrapping with Jay Cruz, and now we really must talk about Meghan Markle, or as she made a very distinctive point on her first episode one of her With Love, Meghan Netflix series, when Mindy Kaling said to her in the show, I can't believe you, Meghan Markle, worked at Taco Bell. And she very immediately, one could say, scoldingly said, I can't believe you still call me Meghan Markle. You know I'm Sussex. So it was a little stunning because first she made fun of Mindy's asking her, what's your look? She's my look. And then she scolded her for calling her Meghan Markle, which is her name as well as Sussex, and apparently wants only to be known by Meghan Sussex at this point, which is very striking because her series is all about her and not her role as a Sussex. So, Jay, she's back in the headlines, but not just for the royal drama. She launched her new lifestyle brand as ever. She ran into trouble with that, some legal trouble, because there's already a trademark issue with a Chinese company, and there's even a town in Spain that claims her logo looks exactly like their coat of arms. And the As Ever brand is clothing in New York. They've been doing it for 20 years and said, we don't have the money to sue her for the name, but it's giving us some publicity. On top of that, her new Netflix series, With Love, Meghan, which just premiered last night, people are saying it's too similar to Pamela Anderson's new cooking show, which is called With Love, Pamela. And Hollywood's buzzing with rumors that her talent agency may have dropped her for being too difficult to work with. If that's not enough, the old bullying allegations from her time in the palace are back in the spotlight. Her former aide is saying he stands by his claims and has no regrets about speaking out on her nasty tongue and bullying. And apparently, whether it's business branding or the royal family, Meghan just can't seem to escape the controversy, but she does keep people talking, that's for sure. What do you think about all of it?
Well, I did a quick little research just to catch the latest, since it is a new show, and I did a little research online, and this one came up from a paper or website called Wisconsin Right Now, and the headline is, I watch Meghan Markle's insufferable Netflix show so you don't have to. And then the reviewer goes in and talks a little bit about that, how she didn't like being called Meghan Markle even though it's her name, and she wants to be Meghan Sussex. And then the Daily Beast, which, you know, that's from England, so they of course have an interest in this. It basically 8 hours ago, in a brutal takedown of the new show, Variety paints the Duchess as a narcissist for whom no amount of praise seems enough. So that's the initial feedback. So, she might have some fans and people that enjoy the show. The mainstream media of media critics are slamming the show as far as, like, I watch it so you don't have to. Kind of like,
right.
I'm a TV critic, and let me save you an hour. Choose something else. There's nothing to see here.
I found myself feeling really disappointed with her because, initially she was this young child advocate who wrote and said, women shouldn't be doing dishes in the kitchen, which one of the critics who were criticizing the series said, she wrote as a child, women shouldn't be in the kitchen doing dishes, and here she is in the kitchen doing dishes. But, I thought when she married Prince Harry, here was somebody who was going to join forces and really take her political activism and her sense of rightfulness out around the world and do what Kate and William were doing. And I personally, and heard from so many people, how disappointed they were at their, rejecting the royal family. But then it seems what happened is she seems to have replicated the discourse and disconnect in her own family, because she's alienated from her father, sister, and brother. But she created that same disconnect with Harry in his family. I mean, it's not that she did it, but he certainly became a part of it and disconnected from his entire family through his relationship and marriage to her. And so, to me, the show was tone deaf, that he's not out in the world. She's not out there advocating racism, you know, stopping racism. She's in the kitchen making Epsom salt and showing how bees make honey and making little popcorn treats in the oven. And one of the critics was saying, you know, there are no recipes. She doesn't have any background as such in doing this. And who is she doing it for? You know, she had her, they said she had her makeup artist on who helped her put on a face. But they said what really would have been great is if she did a show with her family. People would have watched and applauded because there would have been some harmony there. But, and again, she had some segments on, apparently she had some segments of her being at the show, at the L.A. fires, and some segments on racism, and apparently, according to what was reported in the these YouTube videos, they were cut out by the producers at Netflix, that they edited all of that out. In any event, it's just, you know, I sat there and I thought, well, I'm curious, what is she going to do? Like, well, who is this relevant for? I mean, I certainly wonder, and again, the critics, Jay, were saying, a mother who's working, coming home, is not going to take time to figure out how to make little gift treats and tie it with a ribbon so it's easy to open and put it by the bed of a guest that you have coming. It's just a very removed part of living for so many of the people who are living through very compelling and challenging and changing times right now. You have to, it makes you wonder, what's the point?
Yeah, that is a great question. And, you know, kind of makes me wish the Kardashians were coming back with a new season. I mean, that's how tough this watch sounds. It seems like Megan has missed it on all the marks. And, you know, go watch it if you choose to, but you can go read the reviews online and maybe save yourself a little bit of time.
You know, the greatest quote she had was in one of the interviews she gave, and she said, of course there will be fruit preserves. I think we're all clear at this point that jam is my jam. Well, there's a certain, you know, presumptuous if we're all clear on that. I don't know. But, yeah, she's right. She does jam things up. And people get jammed up in their interactions with her. And apparently now she's jammed herself up. We just have to see how this plays out. But doesn't seem to be going gracefully in the direction she apparently is looking for. Well, we'll see. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, it's time to wrap up Shrink Wrap segment for this month.
It sounds great. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Jay, to have a great, insightful Shrink Wrap conversation. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. Join me next month for a new episode of the Doctor on Call Hour. It is going to be April, and my guest is going to be Elizabeth Hanks, the author of The Ten, her new book. You are not going to want to miss it, so make sure to join in and tune in. Also, be sure to visit me online at www.drjanegreer.com for relationship tips and advice. Check out my latest book, Am I Lying to Myself? How to Overcome Denial and See the Truth. It's available on Amazon. And remember, you always get what you want when you're in the know.
Thank you for joining Dr. Jane Greer for Doctor on Call. Listen to this episode again anytime on demand at healthylife.net. Keep up with Dr. Jane Greer's social media, blogs, magazine articles, books, and guest appearances at her website, drjanegreer.com. Doctor on Call with Dr. Jane Greer is produced and syndicated by healthylife.net. All positive. Web Talk Radio.